with us. Game four tonight. Jets and Golden Knights. I was saying yesterday, Pooley, about the Caps and Tampa Bay, that the winner of Game 4 wins the series. Whether that's true or not, that was my take. Do you feel that the winner of tonight's game wins the Western Conference Final?
If I were playing and I were the winner of the game, I would say yes. If I were the loser of the game, I'd say not a chance. Like, yeah. I can spin it every which way for home and away and momentum. And I think Winnipeg's going to be fine. I think there's going to be a physical wearing on Vegas that's going to click in. There's a cumulative effect of playing against the Winnipeg Jets. They're big, they're physical, they can skate, and I think you're going to start to get into that in this series.
See, I agree 100%. And we were talking about before in the 4 o'clock hour, I still believe Winnipeg wins this series. They're a better team on paper. They're a deeper team. The goalie, like the flower is the difference.
We're watching something special right now. Now, right. Does it have to be that special for them to win? And if it has to be that special, we've seen this happen over the years.
Yeah,
where a goalie has won a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, well, Jiggy, even I mean, he won the Conn Smythe, wasn't it?
He won the Conn Smythe in the year that they lost the Cup.
They lost, but
so did Hextall.
Sometimes, yeah, and that was with you, mm-hmm. wasn't?
Yes,
but like, there are times where a goalie has a special performance, and he just drags your team into it. And I'm not suggesting that Vegas has been brutal. It's just they know, they play with extra confidence knowing that the Flower is making the saves, all the ones that he should and the couple that he shouldn't.
Well, he's the guy with the rings, right? If he chose to wear his rings on a given night, one hand is pretty full right now.
Yeah.
Like if he had a little event and he chose to wear his rings,
yeah,
he'd look pretty loaded up.
Yeah, he's got three.
And so young guys tend to look at something like that.
Did you think the freak out by Paul Maurice was a little ill-advised? Like, is it the time of year?
No, I'm okay with that. He doesn't do it very often. He doesn't do it. I don't think he does it anywhere near as often as when he was coaching you.
I know, but it's just it's a contrast from Gerard Gallant, who says, the guys can make mistakes, they just got to know, and you're in the conference finals. I don't know. If you're not motivated, like, what is a coach going to scare you into playing good in the conference finals? What is the motivation?
Yeah. For some reason, that woke them up. They played better after that.
Yeah, but I guess you're right.
To your point, I think Paul Maurice coaches much more like Gerard Gallant now than he did earlier. I think he coaches less now, and I think that's why this is a good series, and I think that's why the Nashville series was good. Although the two games that Laviolette choked his team down on, I think lost the series for him. Because I think, first of all, Ryan Johansson is not going to play defense every night. He's just not. He did it for a couple of games, but that's not the way that team was built to play. They were built to go. And when Laviolette reeled them in, they won the two games on the road in that really defensive style. It wasn't them, and they couldn't sustain it. But I think Paul Maurice lets them play. There were instances through the year where on specific plays where they would try to make plays, he'd say, look, I'm not going to tell a guy what to do in a two-on-one. They're skilled guys. They make plays. You know, and even the Scheifele turnover that we give him a lot of grief for in the Marchessault goal,
right?
He's made that play dozens of times this year, that little flop pass over to the side to Wheeler to skate into it. That's been a huge hallmark of their success, is just that little chip pass.
Right.
Didn't work that time. McNabb made a heck of a play.
Did you hear the Gerard Gallant quote on player accountability? He spoke this morning. We'll play it for you right now. Gerard Gallant. I just thought, and we talked about this in the last hour, this is like progressive stuff. I've never heard a National Hockey League coach talk like this publicly.
Well, they take responsibility, but again, it's a game of mistakes. You're not going to be perfect every time you're on the ice. So when the mistakes happen, you forget about them and you move on. So everybody's going to make mistakes. You can go over that game, and there's not one player on the ice that didn't make mistakes last night. So, like I said, they'll own on to the mistakes, but they don't have to. That's part of our game. You make mistakes, you move on, you play the next shift, and you hope you make some good plays. So but those guys are accountable guys, and they work hard. And I said, they don't got to apologize to me. They just got to go out and there, play their game, and get better every shift you can do.
I think that's more prevalent today with a lot of the coaches than you'd think. I think
a lot
that's
to
the
do
way,
with the players are how they are too.
Yeah, I think that's the way Coop coaches. I think that's the way a lot of guys do coach now, the successful guys. I think that's the way Joel Quenneville coaches. You would know Q, Joel better than anybody. I mean,
yeah,
that's
Q
been
gets,
his success.
I mean, Q gets as we've all seen on the bench, he gets a little wound up sometimes. He had the crotch grab, and he
with certain guys.
With certain guys, but I was saying, Daryl Sutter was an honest coach, but he just had a layer of sarcasm to it that would dig, you know. And
that was his way of keeping you accountable.
It was, but mm-hmm. I always respected coaches that were brutally honest, mm-hmm. because you knew exactly where you stood. I had coaches before that talked out the side of their mouth, where you knew they were lying to you. They were trying to sugarcoat it, and, oh, you're a big part of this team, but I'm not going to start you for the ninth game in a row. Well, okay, I get it. Like, just say, you know what, I'm running with the other guy, and that's fine. Like, you live with it. We're all big boys, but...
But, Jamie, you were a player who wanted to be like that. There are guys that want to be sugarcoated. They want...
Yes.
They want that. They need that for their psyche, so they can turn around and tell somebody else that.
But today's athlete, and what O was talking about, these guys are... They want information. They want, okay, we're doing this. Okay, why are we doing this?
Yeah, like, can you imagine back in the day us asking one of our coaches, why are we doing this drill?
Yeah.
I think a teammate would have punched you in the face.
That'd be a great question for Mike Keane.
I was just going to ask
Mike, why are we why are we doing this, Mike?
Oh, my God.
In front of everybody, that'd be great.
I think Pat Quinn would have fought you if you said, Pat, why are we doing this?
Yeah, it there is, and that's that. There is a
shed show.
There is a cutoff. Exactly. There is a cutoff to where the old school and the new school have come in, and that's why I try not to think of it, because, you know, it's just a different game. It's just the there are players that I talk to right now, and even recently, that love the game and think it's at an all-time high as far as speed and skill, but don't like the game the way that it's policed or the way that it's played, in essence, because the accountability isn't there. You know, when Marchand's licking people and kissing people and stuff, like, players I talked to and played with are like, yeah, good punch to the face can sort that out
by his
quick.
Own teammate.
Right, you know. Like,
I've seen teammates punch each other in the face during a game.
I've just seen practice, but I haven't seen during the game.
Arguing over who got an assist, and it was just like, shut the F up, and play. It's just crazy.
But
I had a teammate who was annoyed at a pass in warm-up break his teammate's hand.
Ooh.
Just with a little slash in warm-up.
Jeez. And
just a little two-handed
in a two-on-one
drill in warm-up.
Because there's idiots that think it's funny to shoot pucks and hit guys in the ankle when you're skating around when you first get out there, and I hated that. And Eric Cole hit me in the ankle. One got away from him.
This is your teammate.
Yes.
Yeah, it skipped up on him.
Yeah, and I grabbed a puck, and he wasn't looking, and I took a slap shot. He was at the far end of the ice. And it just sailed over his head. And it was one of those moments where you freak out, and I thought to myself...
Halfway there, when the puck was halfway there?
Halfway there, I'm like, oh, God.
This hits him.
Like, this hits him, I'm done.
Yeah. This hits him, I'm up on the first line.
But Stamkos took one in the grill.
Warm-up off the face.
Yeah, I mean...
More dangerous out there in warm-up than it is during a game.
Because there's 50 pucks, and guys are firing them off the crossbar, firing them off. I played with Pierre Turgeon on the island. Ray was part of this team as well. And Travis Green fired a snapshot. You know, you go through
the little starting drill.
Yeah, you're going down the middle and you cut to the outside. And he's a right-handed shot, fired it off the crossbar, and Turgeon was on the other side. It hit him in the cheek, and he was out for, I think, 5 weeks. Broke his cheekbone. Now, he wasn't wearing a helmet.
Yeah.
And
nobody was.
Nobody wore a helmet back then. Even the backup goal, I would go out with no helmet. I don't know why. I wore no helmet.
That was your FaceTime.
Yeah, you get out there.
I have no idea how a guy doesn't wear you wear a helmet in warm-up?
Not a chance.
That was the greatest thing about playing in the NHL. I'm like, the money, everything else, I wanted to skate around with no helmet.
Your first game in Maple Leaf Gardens, you grew up in Toronto wheeling around with no helmet out there?
Pooley, do you remember Mark Jansen?
Yeah, yes. I remember Janner, yeah.
I said to him, my very first exhibition game, I go, it's cool when I don't have to wear my helmet. He goes, you're kind of young. He goes, you should probably wear your helmet. I go, I'm sorry. I'm not doing it. I don't even know why I asked you for
You had the good flow. I saw the draft picture, the good flow going.
It was the greatest thing to skate with no helmet.
It was like free. It was like
you're in the big leagues. Yeah, everyone's watching you.
We all had a routine. I used to put my mask with the trainer on the bench. Boards. Go for a couple whirls. Stretch at center ice. Grab the mask.
And handle the puck a little bit. The goalie.
Yeah, you're an idiot looking back on it because the danger factor. There's not just one puck. There's 50 pucks. And as smart as you think some players are, there's as few dummies out there too that have no idea where guys are and they rattle it off the bar and
then
it goes
you get
off the
odd
grass.
Guy that would skate behind the net.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah,
I've hit a few guys behind the net.
Yeah, I'm sure you would have.
The worst poolie is Stephen Rice was scratched for 20 games in a row. Paul Maurice says, you're in. You're finally in.
Took him out in warm-up?
No, took himself out. Flies down the middle and rips one off the crossbar right back in the forehead concussion. Everyone was like, man,
can't help yourself.
And it was another Ivy League student from Brown University, so that shows you what that gets you.
Yeah, that cost him another 15 or 20. Then he was going to come back again. He says, you're in. You're in. He decides to wrestle with Stu Grimson in the locker room.
Smart move.
Blows his neck out. Stu, puts him in a figure four hold, and he just... Yeah. It was incredible. It's like, don't do that.
Great what you remember about Stephen Rice.
Yeah.
He was a pretty good player. Guy. He was a great guy, too.
Pretty good Kitchener speed. Rangers, wasn't he?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Way he back was in
right-handed
the day.
Shot, good speed down the wall, could shoot the puck. Like I always remember players by the way that they shot and... You know, how they approached the net. If they were a goal scorer, if they weren't, regardless whether they had the AHL level or the NHL level, that on my pre-scout, I would always make mental notes about certain players. And that's what I still to this day, when people say a name, I will associate left-handed shot.
Snapshot.
You know, what does he like to do? That was our pre-scout back then, is you watched a lot of hockey and you would kind of formulate your opinion on what a player was because of things that you'd seen either in highlights or playing against them, and you make a mental note like, oh, that guy likes to make that move. He better be aware of that next time. And Stephen Rice was a good skater. He played for the Rangers too. Did he not? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember. Oh, got him traded.
Yeah. I think he got himself traded after all that.
Sounds like it.
Pooley, with the Caps and Lightning, it's like. There's a checklist of demons that Washington has to get through. Pittsburgh and Sid, done. Now it feels like, all right, you go on the road, you steal home ice advantage away, two games worth of it. You outplay Tampa Bay last night, but you still lose. You've given it right back. You're still very much in the series. It's now a best of three. You have to win another one down in Tampa, and you've got to take care of home ice, presumably. And I'm watching Ovi slam his stick over the crossbar at the end of the game last night, and I'm thinking to myself, is that a moment of frustration there, or is there doubt just given that team's history?
I think it's a moment of frustration, I do. I mean, those two guys, he and Kuznetsov, had 21 shots in the third game on net, 12 and 9. Like, that's crazy. It's not what... Washington is not doing. They've been just fine. It's what Vasilevsky is doing.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been beaten twice by a goaltender.
First star both games.
That's it. That's what they've got to tell themselves. And by the way, that guy wasn't very good through the latter part of the year. And, you know, and their goalie is exactly the same. Braden Holtby, you could draw a similarity between those two guys. They both struggled down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
But Vasilevsky had such a huge first half that he was still a Vezina finalist just off the strength of probably the first three quarters of the season. And just as, you know, as Holtby bounced back, Vasilevsky's clearly bounced back right now. He wasn't thoroughly tested in the first round against Jersey, but he's been really, really good. They'd just say, hey, keep going. Keep going. Yeah. They've got the goalposts. They've got, you know, he made a couple of ridiculous saves last night.
He did.
It's going to happen.
There was, in game three, he makes a 3-on-1 save on Kuznetsov where Ovi puts it between his legs. I thought that was the difference in the game. Last night, they pushed, and they pushed, and I I felt their special team, their power play needed to score one. You get four power plays in a row.
And with Backstrom back, did they relax just that little bit?
I thought there was. Like, he didn't look as sharp. There were a couple times where I think he was trying to force feed things. Their power play's really good. I felt like it looked really forced yesterday. They were trying to force the puck in the middle to Oshie, and Tampa did a good job of closing that off.
Then don't forget, you're four games in now, so you've seen the same power play four times, and the penalty killers tighten up a little bit and focus on.
And then they're trying to force feed it to Ovi. Like, I felt like, I mean, Tampa had a plan in place, and they were able to execute it immediately. Like, Point gets it over to Stamkos, even though it hits a skate the first time, and he's still able to get it over there, back of the net. There was a plan in place. The Capitals, I think there was, and you made a point about this the other day, Pooley, where you have consecutive power plays. Like, you don't have time to readjust.
If it's within a period, you can't.
Ovi was out there for 2.5 minutes. He was out for the full power play and extra time afterwards. There was no readjustment.
All right, Pooley. You're on a jet to the peg tomorrow? Is that...
Tomorrow? Nice. Flying on James Duthie's plane. Over to Winnipeg. Yeah, it's great.
Good stuff. We'll catch up next week.
Okay. Have a good weekend.
Dave Poulin, TSN hockey analyst.